Amen. Come on, has God been good to you? I said, has God been good to you? Hallelujah. I saw a quote, or I read a quote this week, and I thought it was just so good. It said that it's not the happy people that are grateful, it's the grateful people that are happy. Let me say that one more time and let it sink in. It's not the happy people that are grateful, but it's the grateful people that are happy. And that's why he says over and over in his word, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks. Give thanks in everything. Why? Because God wants you to be full of joy. He wants you happy, happy, happy. Right? Happy, happy, happy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 6. But I just want to explore that just a little bit more. Did you know that you can negate something by saying something else? Let me just say it this way. I know that a lot of men feel that this is true. I'm not one of them. But, you know, where you know, your significant other that you know, one oh darn will wipe out 10 attaboys. Did you ever hear that or think about that? I don't believe that's true, but not with my wife anyway. But anyway, I think sometimes we go, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But, God, I really expected this. Or, God, I really wanted that. I think that one but wiped out all the thank you before, right? So what we have to do is we have to go, when we get to the but part, keep our mouth shut. And just continue to be grateful. Hallelujah. Something that I've been trying to do, I haven't been as faithful as I'm going to be, but every morning when I get up, I try to find about 5 things that I'm grateful for. Some people go, oh man, that's going to be tough. Really? Are you saved? Right? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Right? Are you alive? That's right. Big John has gone on to be with the Lord now. How you doing, John? He said, well, he said, any day that I'm looking down at the flowers instead of up is a good day. Glory to God. So there are many things to be grateful for, but we have to be grateful on purpose. Hallelujah. Did you find Ephesians chapter 6? I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of being strong in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. So if he says, as he does in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It would make sense to me that if you can be strong in the Lord, you can also be weak in the Lord. I'm going to say it a different way. If you can be strong for the Lord, you can also be a wimp for the Lord. And we don't want to be wimpy. We want to be strong. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, I want to point out a couple of things. We're going to look at some scriptures. He said, for you to be strong. He didn't say for the Lord to put strength on you. But he didn't say to be strong in you. He said to be strong in the Lord. Come on. We'll get to the scripture, but Paul said this. He said, man, when I'm weak, I'm strong. In my weakness, his strength shines forth. So it's a lot of times we look too much on us and we try to do something on our own strength and it doesn't work and we get frustrated and we, you know, quit. But he said here, be strong in the Lord. Glory to God. Spend time with God. He'll make you strong. Glory to God. I'm going to read through these verses, and then we're going to come back to that. But look at verse 10 again, and we're going to read through to verse 18. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. In verse 10, he headed up finally, be strong in the Lord. And for the next few verses, he's telling you how to be strong in the Lord. Right? Be strong in the Lord. Well, that's great. How do I do that? I'm going to show you how to do that tonight. And we probably won't get through all of this tonight. We'll be back next week to finish it up. Or maybe finish it up, because it could go 3 weeks. I started the book of Ephesians once thinking it was going to be about a four-week thing. It was 6 months later, I think, we finished it, right? But watch this. Be strong in the Lord. And we're going to look at some scriptures where other people had to be strong in the Lord and see if we can learn some principles on how to do that. Come on. I want to be strong in the Lord. And think about strong. That strong means that you're able to resist or you're able to lift anything that's put before you. Right? If you're strong enough, then that 50-pound bag of rice is no big deal. Right? If you're strong enough, that 100 pounds of concrete isn't an issue. If you're strong enough, right? So strength, come on, we need the strength that's relative to the task that we're facing. But God is our strength, and He is able, come on, to help us with whatever we're facing, right? So be strong in the Lord, because your strength to get through what you're going through is in Him and not in you. And sometimes we make an idol out of ourselves or others, and we look to their strength to be the strength that we need when we're going through something. And oftentimes what that leads to is frustration, bitterness, and you know, you just get hacked off at people because they're not there when you need them. Well, you're looking to the wrong person. We're supposed to get our strength from Him in our time of need, right? And so, do we need friends? Absolutely. Do we need people to be there for us? Absolutely. But we need to count on Him, right? I learned this long ago that when I need something from God, He uses people a lot of times to give that to me. But if I'm looking to the people for it instead of God, then I'm going to do some things to manipulate the people to try to get me what I want. Or I'm going to put pressure on them that doesn't need to be on them. In other words, and I've seen this happen before, I'll just tell you the story of a friend of mine. He was praying one day, and he just felt all inspired of God, been in his prayer closet, and he happened to be going to church where this fellow that was going there was pretty wealthy, pretty well off, and he said, and he was a bold guy. He went up to him, he said, you know, I was praying today, and he said, man, I believe the Lord told me that you're going to buy me a new car. And so the guy who was a mature Christian, he said, you know, listen, brother, he said, when God tells me to, I will. He hasn't done it yet, right? That's been years and years ago. But the problem is he was looking to God for a new car, but he put his emphasis on the one that he thought could get it for him instead of on the one who promised him. So we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be looking to the Lord instead of others. Thankful when God uses other people. And He's done that for us over and over and over again. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1. Now you remember Joshua is the one who took over for Moses. That would be a tough act to follow. Right? But Joshua is the one. But watch this. Why was Joshua picked to be the one to take over. Without going into the scriptures, I'll just tell you that Joshua was the one who, when Moses went up to the mountain, he was as far up the mountain as he could get into the glory without being zapped. He was always there with Moses when Moses went to God, because he wanted not only Moses, he wanted what Moses had, and that's the relationship with God. He wanted to know the presence of God, and he got close to the presence of God. But in Joshua chapter 1, and let's start in verse 7, he says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, to do, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then I will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Whew, we could stop there and just have a party. How could he be strong and courageous? Because of the revelation that God is with you wherever you go. God is with you wherever you go. You can't go in the will of God without God. You can't be strong in the Lord without God. Obviously, right? But we have to be aware of that. So we have to remind ourselves, especially when it doesn't feel like he's with us, or especially when our prayers haven't been answered or they haven't been answered yet, and we can't understand why we're in the situation that we're in. Why me, God? All of those questions we have to answer with, "No, God, you said you were with me. You said you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. I'm going to stand until I die on the fact of your promise that you said that you're my God and that I'm your son or I'm your daughter, and I'm standing on it." In order for you to be strong in the Lord, you have to believe that he is, as Hebrew 11 said in verse 6, that you must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him, what does that mean? That you're looking for him, to him, and at him constantly. 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 Wake up in the morning. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for the breath that I'm breathing. Thank you, Lord." You might wake up in the morning and you know, the more mature you get, the harder it is to get the leg over the bed and stand up. And it might take a little while for those feet to start shuffling. But you can thank God that he's with you and he's given you the strength to shuffle those feet. Right? That he's given you another day to do something in his kingdom. I'm talking about being strong in the Lord. The first step is that you have to know that he's with you. But you have to understand that he's with you despite what you feel, what you hear, what you sense, what your neighbor says, what the paper says. You have to be absolutely sure that God is with you. Go back up to verse 7. I want to show you something here, because this is really, really important. He said, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which my Moses, my servant, commanded you, and do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So the first thing is you have to know that God is with you, and then you have to have the Word of God in you. And you have to have conviction about the Word of God. Because we're going to find out that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But the enemy doesn't change his stripes. He's always after us going, "But did God say? Did God really say? Did, you know, just like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. Come on, God. Did he really say that? He didn't mean that. He's mad at you, or he just wants you not to be as blessed as you could be blessed." And the reality is we got to come back to the Word of God. We need to make the Word of God our absolute priority and say, Lord, whatever you say, I'm not turning from the left or the right. What does that look like? Lord, if you said don't lie, I'm not going to lie, even if it causes me hurt. Lord, if you said that I need to praise you in the midst of the street, I'm going to begin to praise you in the midst of the street, no matter if people think I'm crazy or not. If you said this is right, then Lord, that's what I'm going to say is right. If you say this is wrong, Lord, I'm going to say that that is wrong, no matter what others say about it. And in order to do that, you're going to have to be able to stand up in the midst of all kinds of situations, not be mean, but be forceful from the standpoint of this is where I'm standing. You may not believe it, but I absolutely believe it. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you have to be determined to not only hear the Word of God, but to do the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God has to be your standard. I want to be strong in the Lord. Well, he said, for you to be strong in the Lord, you've got to determine in yourself that God loves you. You have to know that, but then you have to know that His Word is absolutely the very thing that you're going to run your life on. Period. So you're reading along and there's something in there, you're reading through like the Beatitudes and something hits you and you go, well, I'm not doing that. Well, I wasn't yesterday, but I am now. Because I'm going to meditate on the Word of God. And meditate means to mutter, it means to ponder, it means to think about. Thinking about it all the time. What does the Word say? What does the Word say? What does the Word say? So if the Word says, be thankful in all things, what are you going to do? If you're going to be strong in the Lord, then you're going to be thankful in all things. Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. If you want the strength of the Lord, it doesn't matter what you're going through. What matters is, what does the Word say? So the person that you're going to have to be strongest with where the Word of God is concerned is you. Because, I don't know if you know this, but we all have flesh we have to deal with. We have flesh that's screaming at us, and there's a war within us to be selfish, to be prideful, to lie, to cheat, to feel sorry for us. There's all kinds of things at us, but if we want to be strong in the Lord, we have to tell that no. And we have to walk in the Spirit as He's in the Spirit. Say, God, I'm walking with you. I don't care what happens, I am going to walk with you. Go to verse 18 of Joshua chapter 1. Come on, it says, now watch this. It says, whoever rebels against your command, he's talking to Joshua, and does not heed to your words in all that you command him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Now, I'm not saying that we need to curse people to death, but what I'm saying for ourselves is like this is a life and death situation as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to live for Christ and I'm going to die to myself. In order to do that, I not only have to be strong, but I have to be courageous. And part of strength is courage. And what is courage? Courage isn't the lack of fear, it's acting in spite of the fear based on the proof that God has said something. Make sense? Hallelujah. Go to chapter 10, Joshua 10. And think about what Joshua's assignment was. Joshua's assignment was and depending on what commentaries you read, anywhere between 1 and 3 million people that were rebellious against Moses, and they all died off in the wilderness. He's got to take their kids and walk them into the promised land. He has to be strong and say, listen, we're not going to put up with this, and we're not going to put up with that, because we want to see what God has to do. So even in our own lives, we have to set up boundaries around us, boundaries for ourselves and boundaries for others. Come on. It's like, I won't go down that road too far, but we'll talk about that at some time. But look at chapter 10 and verse 25. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight." He's talking to the people that he's leading, but he's not leading them out of, just reading something and saying, "Well, this would be a good idea. Let's try this." Right? He didn't read the latest book or watch the latest video and say, "Boy, that's awesome. Let's try that." He is doing that because he's been walking with the Lord. He's been very strong and courageous, and God has worked on his behalf as what he's walking through. So what he's saying, "I know this will work. So you follow me." Paul said it this way, "You follow me as I follow Christ." Right? So to be strong in the Lord, we have to follow other people who are strong in the Lord. Chapter 14. I like this one. I like them all, but I like this one. Now this is Caleb. This is Caleb who was with Joshua, and he was the only one of the two of all of Israel that got to go into the promised, the land that was promised to their generation 40 years ago. It was Joshua and Caleb, because they're the only ones that came back with a good report, right? But this is Joshua speaking now, and listen to what he has to say. Joshua 14, verse 10. "Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive." Come on, he's being strong. He's being strong in the Lord. "The Lord has kept me alive." And again, he's somewhere about 85 years old. "The Lord has kept me alive." He said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while we Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. "And yet, as I am as strong as the day, on that day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in." You see, he hung on to the promise of God for 45 years. How was he strong in the Lord? He didn't let what other people were saying dissuade him. He didn't let the circumstance dissuade him. He held on to the promise of God. In order for you to be strong in the Lord, you've got to be tenacious in your faith. Come on. "God promised he'll take care of me. That's it." "Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't have this. You don't have that." "That's not up to me. I'm going to stand in that." And people come up to you, "Well, I think you should be a little bit worried. Or why aren't you doing this? Or why aren't you doing that?" Listen, I have a promise that God has, by my relationship with God, based on His Word of God, and hearing from the Spirit of God, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm supposed to be here, and I'm not stopping and I'm not quitting. Right? And I'll just be honest with you, in a personal standpoint, there have been many times throughout all of the years that we've been in this church, right? And it's been, what are we at? 27 or so? I mean, it's been a while we've been here. There have been times where I've got, "Oh, Lord, are you sure?" The whole transition from the old building to this building, I was in my office one day and I said, "Lord, is that it? Are we done? It's been a good run, God. I've known other people who didn't last that long, and you know, it's good, but I keep getting in my spirit that, no, you're not done. Keep going. Okay, here we go. Here we go." So there were times where I had to rely on the first word that I heard rather than the voice that I was hearing now. Right? Caleb listened to the word that he heard 45 years 45 years before. And he was able to be strong and do what God told him to do and wasn't worried about who was against him or any of his enemies because his strength came from hearing the first time. So don't give up on what you hear. Put it in paper, write it down, whatever you need to do. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you have to get to the point where you're hearing the voice of God, either directly from the Word or by His Spirit, which will be backed up by the Word, and you're standing strong on that no matter what. Are you hearing me? I want to be strong in the Lord. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you've got to have, as my Jewish friends would say, chutzpah. What that means is you got to have a little gumption. You got to have some guts, right? In church, it's really funny. There's a church in Tulsa called Guts. It's a wild church. It's awesome. Go with me to Psalm 61. Y'all getting something tonight? Psalm 61. I want to encourage you, if you've fallen off the faith horse, I want you to get back on the faith horse. And if God has promised you some things and you said, well, time has slipped by, I'll bet you it hasn't 45 years. So get back on the horse and just say, Lord, I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. I will not stop. Glory to God. Glory to God. There was a song that I sang. I heard it. Kenneth Copeland sang it first. But I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I cannot be defeated because God said I couldn't. And if God is with me, and I will not be defeated if I don't quit. So there's two parts to that. I need to stand on what God said, but I need to have the tenacity to not stop. Glory. Psalm 61, I'm getting there. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from my enemies. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. We could go to Psalm 91. It says something similar to that. But listen to what this says again. For you have been a shelter for me. If you want to be strong in the Lord, you have to remember the victories that you've had in the Lord. You have to remember the time that God was for you. And He pulled you through even though it didn't seem like it was feasible for that to happen. Again, I can only testify of me. There were a time in the beginning when we started the church and we went full time. I quit the shipyard, which was a good income and you know, good retirement, all of that. I had a great job at the shipyard. I was a supervisor and I would have went up in that to a higher degree. But watch this. I felt it called and we prayed about it and that I was to quit. And it seemed like that first year was such a struggle. And there were a few months where not enough money came in to pay us. So we didn't get paid. I'm telling you, that's not easy when you have a mortgage, you have a wife, you have two kids at home, a Lord. But God said, and I had to be strong in that. And God pulled us through. And He made up for it. And supernaturally supplied for us. Glory to God. But you have to have the tenacity of knowing and not quitting. You have to know that He's your fortress. And then you can't give up. And you have to remind yourself, He did it before. He's the same God. He'll do it again. Right? He'll do it again. Over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Psalm 71. While you're turning there, I'll tell you the time where Renita was in the back of an ambulance in our driveway, and the paramedics for about 40 minutes are trying to intubate her because she stopped breathing. She can't breathe because of an asthma attack. So for 45 minutes, they finally gave up on it and they said, don't try to follow us because we're going code to the hospital. So I'm with the kids and I'm driving and I'm quoting, Lord, she'll live and not die. She'll live and not die. She'll live and not die. But in my spirit, I heard this, you know, or I thought this. I thought, you know what? This woman that I'm married to has fought long and harder to just to survive than anybody I've ever known. And there are days that are hard for her to breathe. And I don't know if you've ever had the wind knocked out of you. In other words, that's was her life. And so, Lord, I said, I don't want to be selfish. She's fought a good fight. So I'm not telling you I was in just right in faith. But I said, Lord, I don't want to be selfish in that. If she's better off to be with you, I'll be okay with that. It'll be rough. It'll be tough. I won't like it. But God, I'm trusting you. Got to the hospital that night. And the ER doctor talked to me and he said, well, you know, she was without oxygen for a while. It's about a 50-50 chance whether she'll make it or not. I didn't like that news. But in spite of that, I said, Lord, even though if she goes home to be with you, I will praise you. I will not give up on you. I will not quit on you. I prefer that she stays here. And if, sir, if you could answer that, that would be awesome. But I don't want to be selfish in that request. She's still here. Glory to God. Because God was with her. God was with me. God knew that I needed adult supervision, right? And so he kept me with her. So what I'm saying is in the midst of a crisis, you have to get your strength from him. You have to be strong in the Lord when you don't feel strong. When you doubt, when you're going through stuff, you have to be strong in the Lord. Verse 3. Be strong, refuge, to which I resort continually. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. God, you're my rock. You're my fortress. So when you're in the midst of a situation that you feel weak, you have to turn and say, listen, it doesn't matter how I feel. God is my fortress. Now, we don't think of a fortress that much now. But I would like you to try to go to Kansas and try to get into Fort Knox. You know, that's where all the gold is stored. Just try to go get in there. Right? What's that? I'm telling you, you would meet a lot of resistance because of the security that is guarding against enemies or thieves from the fortress. So the fortress is the place of safety, right? I used to love Western movies when I was a kid, still do. You know, I'd rather watch Gunsmoke than some of the stuff that they have now, right? I love that. But how many of those movies did you watch the cavalry racing in a band of Indians behind them, Native Americans behind them, and they raced, where were they racing for? The fort. Open the gates! Because there was safety and security behind the gates. He's my fortress. When I get in trouble, I run to the fort. Right? If I want to be strong, I have to be constantly looking for the fort. And trusting in Him. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we kind of alluded to this earlier, but let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is the chapter where Paul's talking about his thorn in the flesh and all of those things. But look at verse 9. And this is Jesus talking to Paul. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't believe this is necessarily saying, you know, I'm just sick, broke, disgusted, and that's when God comes to me. What I think it says is, even I, if I don't have the ability to get through what I'm going through, He's my strength. And if I'll recognize His strength, then I can glory in my weakness because I know that He did it and I couldn't. Right? I know that I got through this because He did it and I didn't. Been many times over the years where I wasn't qualified, but I had the favor of God, and God got me through. One more story along those lines. I was working in the shipyard and the trade that I was trained in, and time came up for a lead position. I applied, I got it, and then the foreman's job came up, and I applied for it, but there was other people in the shop, obviously, that applied for it, and they had been in the shop longer than I had. They had they were veterans, and if you know anything about the government, especially in the Department of Defense, that veterans have a preference over a non-vet, and I'm a non-vet, and so it seemed like, you know, that it was a long shot for me to get it. And I said, Lord, I'm in Your hands, but I just believe that You've given me favor, and so this job, I believe, is mine. I got the job. And one of the fellows is a friend of mine. He said, Bruce, I don't want you to take this personally, but I'm going to have to go call in some favors because I don't think this is right that you got it and I didn't. I said to him, you do whatever you need to do. Because I'm not going to lose my faith in the Lord if I don't get the job or if you take it from me. I still have the favor of God on my heart, my life, and I still have the job, right? And God gave me favor in the job. But my point is, I didn't get that job because I was by myself. I got the job because God's favor was upon me. And watch this, and I'll just bring this kind of together, is that God's favor was on me because I learned to do what His Word said to do. And it's amazing how much favor you get when you don't make excuses, but you are obedient and you honor the people that are above you and not blasting them all the time. When you're thankful for a job that you have instead of, oh, the shipyard, oh, shipyard, you hear that a lot. But I said, man, I'm grateful. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's being in the Word of God, doing the Word of God, and following. Like if you read through Proverbs, man, if you begin to read through that and do that, it'll change you. It'll change how you react to certain things. So I got strength from the Lord, even though I may not have been as qualified, I may not have had the points and all of that. I had favor with God because I trusted in Him and I had a relationship with Him. I talked to Him all the time. I'm a son of His because of the blood of Jesus. But I also was absolutely trying to do the Word to the best of my ability. So even in my weakness, He became my strength. Glory to God. Be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord, not strong in myself. Here's the awesome thing. When you know that your strength comes from Him, and you know that what you're accomplishing is not of your own efforts, it's easy just to give Him all the glory and all the praise and just understand. As Renita will tell you, and she said it many times, He's not that smart at home. but the point is, I rely on His wisdom, and He gives it to me. I rely on the fact that His Holy Spirit lives within me and continues to do so, right? So even in my weakness and my inability and me not being qualified to do what I'm supposed to do, He's my strength. Even like, Lord, you want me to go talk to that person? they've got a college degree, Lord, they've got a doctorate, and you want me to go share the gospel or say something to them? Lord, I'm a fool. And he says, in your weakness, my strength will come through. Right? And he said this, he said, I'll take the foolish things of this world and confound the wise. Why? Because the foolish I will fill with my spirit, and their strength will come from me, and they will be able to do exploits. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Even tonight we have to go, Lord, I'm facing some things, but Lord, I just need to repent. Because Lord, I've been trying to face these things in my own strength. I've been trying to get through them in my own strength. I've been trying to prove myself right in my own strength. I've been trying to win this argument because of who I am. Come on. I'll just give you another story. I was going through something, and many of you probably have heard this before, but I was going through something, and I was a pastor in the church, and there were some things being said, and I said to myself, and I began to prepare early in the week, all right, Sunday I'm straightening it all out. I'm going to get up there, I'm going to tell what's what, who's who, what's right, what's wrong. And God just began to speak to me. And these are the words that He said to me into my spirit. He said, if you have to be your justifier, I can't be. But I want to be. I want to tell those people how right I am. I had to allow Him to do His job because He's the strength that I walk in. And I listened to His word, and then I did His word. Are you with me? Glory to God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll just close with that. I've got a lot more notes than I preached tonight, but we'll get to it next week, maybe. Come on. He's my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. God, the Father of the universe, is my Father. He is with me. He's with you. Come on. So to be strong in the Lord, you've got to know, you've got to understand that He's for me. As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, if God be for me, who can be against me? In other words, bring it on. Come on, dude, bring it on. You don't understand who I've got back in me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Come on. Be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm getting there, but my pages are stuck together. Let's read that together. Let's read it all together. Read with me now. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now we're going to switch that up just a little bit, and we're going to make it personal. I'll do it first, then you can follow me. Finally, I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. All right, ready? Finally, I will be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Let's do that one more time. Finally, I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I choose to be, and Lord, I thank You that I am in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Did y'all get something tonight? Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that I could do nothing of eternal significance without Your Spirit, without Your strength. And I want to acknowledge that. I want to thank you, Lord, that you reached out to me. I didn't come to you. You reached out to me by a drawing of your Holy Spirit, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to thank you, Lord, that everybody that's listening to me, whether they're in the room or online or however they're listening, Lord, we're all in the same situation. Without you, we're nothing. Without you, we're still in our sin. We're still far away from your presence, but we're not without you because you so graciously sent your Son to die for us. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life tonight, just do that. And maybe you've kind of backed off of him being the Lord of your life, and he really isn't the strength of your life because you really haven't been fully trusting and relying on him. Just switch that right now. It's just a decision. Say, Lord, I see that, and I'm changing that right here and right now. Father, I thank you for everybody listening. If there's people suffering in their bodies, I thank you for the anointing that's here right now on your word, going forth and going through the internet, Lord, and touching their bodies, and by your stripes, they are healed. I thank you, Lord, for strength for weakness in Jesus' name. I thank you for people that will be able to stand and do things that they couldn't do before in your name. And I thank you, Lord, that all of us collectively are renewing our relationship with you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory, and we give you the honor, and we thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.